With our God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have I not spoken to your heart? Have I not given you my word? Am I not aware of who you are and what you are going through? I know you. I love you. And I have provided victory for you. If you will seek my face and know me, if you will trust in me and believe me, then awesome and mighty things can be done. And the things that trouble you and the things that worry you and the things that make you anxious will come to naught if you seek first my kingdom, my work, my will, and trust me, because I am a God who loves and cares about every one of you. And I know what you're going through. You don't have to beg me to intervene. I have already intervened. I intervened on the cross, and I sent the Holy Spirit to accompany you and to bless you and to comfort you and to anoint you and to direct you. And if you will trust me, I will do awesome things in you and through you, says the Lord of hosts. Amen and amen. Would you give him praise this morning? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me in the book of 2 Corinthians to chapter 2. I'm reading just two verses of Scripture. And I want to talk to you about a message that God has laid on my heart really a couple weeks ago. I was just anxious to get into the Word. In fact, the missionary that was here last week, you know, he touched on several things that the Lord had laid on my heart. So he had a great message of his own, but it was also kind of an introduction to what I'm going to be sharing with you today. And that's how God is. What an awesome God. From 2 Corinthians chapter 2, reading from the New King James Translation, verses 14 and 15. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Lord, you know I am nothing, but I thank you for the anointing upon your word. May it accomplish what you please in the lives of your people, and we give you all of the praise. Amen and amen. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. If we're being led by the Lord, we could shout amen to that one. Who always, if we are being led by the Lord, if we're allowing him to lead us, he always leads us in triumph. Paul is writing to Corinthian Christians and declares that his life is like a Roman military victory parade. Now, obviously, none of us have seen that except in movies, and I don't know how accurate it is, but in the movies, I'm sure you've seen before, as the soldiers would march through town and the shouts of the people everyone giving honor to their military and fragrances. They would burn spices and things, and the whole town would have the aroma, the whole city, the aroma of what they called victory, because they were excited about the victory of their battle. Everybody loved parades except the military leaders in the losing army, because they also had to march. And they were smelling the same fragrant, but it wasn't a blessing to them. Hello? Your perspective really makes all the difference. And the Apostle Paul is saying here, the same fragrance that brings joy to the victorious is despairing to the defeated. But he says, my life has been like a victory parade. Attitude and mindset is so important because even the victorious army suffers losses. And even the victorious army has to fight battles. And even the victorious army must make sacrifices. But to win the battle, they valiantly fight. And to win the war, many may give their lives. God has not called us so much to die for Him as He's called us to die to ourselves, to live for Him. And if we are willing to make those sacrifices to obey Him, there is an aroma, there is a fragrance, there is a beauty, a peace that comes into our lives when we learn how to trust Him even in the midst of battle. On October 7th of 2003, Casting Crowns released a song entitled Thrive. I'm going to have them play it for you. When they do, most of you probably will recognize it if you ever listen to Christian music on the radio. This is a powerful recording, but to me, when I listen to it, it kind of gives me the feel of a victory march or a victory parade. And the words are so powerful, I want them to play it for you. And when they play the video, it will have the words on the screen as well. Because God has called us to triumph. Always to triumph in the Lord, but our attitude and our mindset will make the difference between victory and defeat. Go ahead and play the song if you will.
Dream has died.
Yes, amen. God has called us to be that tree. Amen. Go on. Praise the Lord. He didn't call us to be a shrub hiding. He called us to be a tree that produces fruit and brings life to men and women in this world. The devil loves to intimidate. He loves to get you to focus on the storm instead of on the peacekeeper. Amen. He wants you to look at the darkness, but you expel darkness by not casting the darkness out, but by turning on the light. The darkness automatically dispels when we turn on the light. I love the lyrics of this song. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. Turn to someone and tell them, God made you special. He didn't make you for an ordinary life. He made you to bring glory and honor to Him in your life. The song said it's time for us to more than just survive. I don't know how many Christians I've met in this world whose goal is to survive until the rapture takes place. But God didn't call us to survive until the rapture takes place. I believe the rapture will take place, and I'm trusting God. I'm going to be ready when it does take place. But He's coming back not for a church in survival mode. He's coming back for a church who has adorned herself, who has made herself ready, who is looking for His coming. Hallelujah. And whom the Apostle Paul said has laid up a crown of righteousness, a crown of victory. We were made to thrive. And then I can't help but almost get tickled when they start singing that joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. I could march around to that song. I ain't seen a Jericho march for a long time, and I'm not suggesting we have one, but I tell you, that song just excites me. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable. Love unstoppable. Anything is possible. That's the God that we serve. It's not a God that's coming back for a beat up church. He's coming for a radiant bride. God did not call us to be survivors. He called us to be more than conquerors through His great love. Somebody say amen. We cannot afford to spiritually live in survival mode. The world believes in the survival of the fittest, which kind of explains why there's so much violence in our world and such a lack of respect for human life and dignity and humanity. But we believe in the power of God's love to deliver, to heal, to save whosoever calls on the name of the Lord and puts their trust in His hands. A church that is not overcoming is overcome. Let me say that again. I hope it rings a bell because it sure did when the Lord spoke that into my spirit. A church that is not overcoming is overcome. And let me make it a little bit more personal. A Christian that is not conquering is in danger of compromising for the purpose of survival. If we have a survival mentality, then we're willing to do anything just to survive. But that's not what God has called us to. God has called us to give everything to Him so that He can give us back everything we need in order to be victorious in life. Let me say it again. A church that is not overcoming is overcome. And a Christian that is not conquering is in danger of compromising for the purpose of surviving. We must recognize the authority and power we have in Jesus Christ to live victorious lives. That's why our theme around here is living and victory every day of our life, living in freedom every day of our lives. Because no one can take what God has put in your heart away from you. You may neglect it and reject it and ignore it, but nobody can take that away from you. In Luke 10 and 19, Jesus said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I would call that defensive superiority. The devil may attack, but he can't defeat. Paul said, I've been knocked down, but not knocked out. I get back up because I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep what I've committed unto Him until the day of the Lord. In Matthew 16 and 18, we're familiar, most of us, with the verse that He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is not defensive superiority. That is offensive superiority. He said, I've established a church, and the gates of hell cannot stop you from being what I've called you to be. You know, we can blame things on the devil. You know, when I was a kid, there was a TV show, and there was a guy named Flip Wilson who used to say, the devil made me do it. Some of you have no idea unless you watch Nickelodeon or something. Well, the devil can't make you do anything, but he can trick you and intimidate you into doing or not doing what God has called you to do. And if we have a survival mode, then we're always thinking, now what's going to happen when I do? If I obey God, what's going to happen? If I say that, if I speak that, if I live that, if I make that commitment, if I surrender everything to the Lord, then what's going to happen in my life? How is it going to impact me? And if we're not careful, you know, we spend more time thinking about how we're going to survive. I want to tell you, I have not bought food that lasts for 25 years to put in a shelter somewhere, because my life is in God's hands. Not attacking you if you do. Eat it with joy. My son sent me a card the other day from a real estate agent. And I know we got a couple here, so I don't want to offend anyone, but this real estate agent said, in business until the rapture. And it just kind of struck me funny. I said, well, he's going to miss a lot of business after the rapture, isn't he? There are going to be a lot of people still here buying and selling. But God has called us to trust in more than what this world has to offer us. God has called us to be a lot of things as His church. Number one, God has called us to be visible. Hello? We can't be a secret church and be God's church, because He said, we are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Whether you're at work or whether you're at school or in your neighborhood or whatever you're doing, you can't afford to be a Christian in survival mode, because if you are, then you're going to hide in the shadows when God has told us to expel the shadows by being the light of the world. We are a visible church. Secondly, He's called us to be a vibrant church. He's called us to be energized and empowered by the Holy Spirit. When He left this world, He said, I'm not going to leave you like orphans who are on your own. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will not only come upon you, but He will be in you. And one of the things the Holy Spirit does is energizes us so that we can be living witnesses of the Lord. That's what Acts 1 and 2 is all about. In the upper room, they were filled with the Holy Spirit to become living witnesses of Christ. So we can't be filled with the Spirit and hiding in the shadows. We are to be the light of the world. And He's energized us so that light doesn't have to go out. so that we have the power of His Spirit. Romans 8 and 11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Poke yourself. Who's in there? The one that's greater than he that is in the world. We are called to be a vibrant church, an active church, an energized church. We're not called to just accept Jesus as our Savior and then hang on and hope the rapture takes place. No. Many a soul would be lost if our forefathers had thought that way. In fact, none of us probably would be saved. It's because they took the message to the world that you and I are believers today. He has called us also to be a varied church. We are a multicultural church. You know the neat thing about fishing for the Lord is that He didn't call us to fish with a fishing pole. He called us to cast nets. And I'm not much of a fisherman, but I do know that if you're fishing with a fishing pole, then the type of bait you use determines the type of fish you're going after. He said, just throw out a net and gather everyone you can and bring them in. I love Revelation. In Revelation 7 and 9, we see this picture written by John the Beloved. He says, after this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language. And they were standing in front of the throne before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. I want to tell you, the Church of the Living God is not just a central location. The Church of the Living God is all over the world. And everywhere you go, they're bringing forth the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I told you one time, Sue, I know I've told you this before, Sue and I were on a cruise one time and we went to the Bahamas and we were at this park and while we were at the park, we went to use the restroom facilities that were there, and while I'm in the restroom facility, I hear someone singing a gospel song. You know, I thought, that voice doesn't sound like Sue, you know. And we came out of there, and she said, hey, did you hear that? And I said, yeah, I did. And we found there was a lady there who was cleaning the restrooms. And obviously she was a Christian because she was singing about her love for Jesus and worshiping the Lord. And so we just had a little church service there for a few minutes in that park in the Bahamas. Why? Because we were a part of the same church. Oh, we hadn't signed the same scores, you know. Books, but we were a part of the same church. God's church is a very church, which means that whosoever will means whosoever will. We don't selectively flash a flashlight on certain people. We just throw it out there for the world and allow the Holy Spirit to bring whosoever will into His church and into the body of Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's called us also to be a visionary church. We are a people with a clear mandate from God. He didn't just say, well, good luck and I'm coming back for you. He said, I am preparing a place for you and I will come again. But in the meantime, while I'm preparing a place for you, you need to be preparing hearts for me. And so go into all the world. That is our mandate. We have a vision. We have a message. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe the commands of God, or my commands, Jesus said in Matthew 28. We are also called to be a vocal church. Someone once said, well, I don't have to testify to people. They'll just see my life. Well, you know, there's people that live good lives that aren't Christians. Yeah. In fact, some of them may be surprised when they stand before God, because they do live good lives. I've met a lot of people who were not born again that lived good lives. He did not call us to be silent witnesses. Hello? In fact, That would be an anomaly. You can't really be a silent witness. Oh, our life should be a light that shines to the world, but we're also called to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show you, or show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. So he makes it clear there that our lives are to demonstrate the message of the gospel, but our mouth is also to declare his praise in all of the world. You know, people today worship all kinds of gods, but some of them get upset if you start talking about Jesus. Hello? You know, even the laws of the land today, you can talk about God because that can mean anything, but we don't want you to talk about Jesus because that offends some people. Well, Jesus offended some people 2,000 years ago, but he didn't quit speaking and representing his Father. We are called to be a vocal church. We are to preach that men might be saved. Sixth, we are a valuable church. The Bible said we're a chosen people. Fortunately, when I was a kid, I was a pretty good sized kid, so I wasn't ever the last one picked to play ball. But I always felt sorry for the two skinny little puny kids. Just hoping they wouldn't be the last one. Please, 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 somebody pick me. Somebody pick me, you know. I think sometimes as Christians, we think because we're Christians that somehow we're less honorable. And I know we're to be humble, but God has called us from glory to glory to glory. God sees us as valuable. He said, you are a chosen race, you are a royal priesthood, you are a holy nation, you are a, and boy, I like the modern translation more than a peculiar people. The modern translation says you're a prized people. Because I've met a lot of peculiar Christians. I don't necessarily want to be one of those. By today's definition. Oh, weird. Ooh. But it actually means to be prized. Hey, in that sense, we're not just a fish thrown in the net. We're a fish that God knew all along was to come into the kingdom of God. He said, you are a prized people who have been called out of, into the, out of, into the. We're not supposed to be hiding. We're supposed to be people of the light, that you may show forth the glory of God in this world. Think about that, how valuable we are. The devil will tell you, God doesn't care about you. You're insignificant. You're nothing. You're a nobody. But the Bible said, you're a chosen person. I chose you. I called you. I've ordained you. I had a plan for you before you ever even came into this world. And I'm still working that plan. Trust me. Obey me. God did not call us to hang on until the rapture. He called us to make a difference in this world. And we got to quit allowing the devil to intimidate us and make us think that survival is the key. No, survival is not the key. He called us to be victorious. Amen? Not proud, not arrogant, but victorious. No matter what we are going through, we are valuable to God. We are individual members of the body of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 12 and 27. We are individual members of the body of Christ who created all that exists. And then finally, number seven, we're a victorious church. You may not always feel victorious. You may not always feel good. You may not like the circumstances you go through from time to time. But if you're in Christ, you're victorious. Because Christ has already defeated every enemy of mankind. And if we're in Him, we're already on the winning side. Revelation said those saints were holding palm branches that were symbols of victory. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, he said, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, your labor is not in vain." Victory does not mean a lack of struggle. Victory means you don't give up until you win. And that's what he's called us to in this world, to not give up. In our text, Paul declares, God always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now, this is the testimony of a man who endured beatings at least 5 different times, who endured stonings, who survived 3 shipwrecks. Hey, I like cruising, but I don't want to be in a shipwreck. Imprisonments, weariness, hunger, homelessness. This is a guy that say, God always leads me in triumph. And we're thinking, that doesn't sound very victorious. He's also the guy that said, everything I've endured, I count as dung, as nothing to what I've gained in my knowledge of the Son of God who loves me and gave his life for me. Somehow we've got to change this mindset. Hey, I pray even so, come Lord Jesus too. I want the Lord to come. Every time I see the headlines and every time I see the violence and the anger and are just frustrated with what's going on in our world, it's easy to look and say, boy, man, I'm ready. Lord, come. But there's some people that aren't ready yet. And as long as you're in this world, you're here because God has a message that he wants to present to them, some of them, through you. Hey, when the time comes and you finish the race, you're going to go be with the Lord. Until that time, you need to keep fighting the good fight of faith. You need to keep doing what God has called you to do and being what God has called you to be. You need to keep letting the light shine. You need to keep speaking the truth in love. You need to keep making a difference in people's lives. You need to be involved and connected, you know. Don't want to offend anyone, but I know there's a reason why some people always come late and always leave early, because they don't want to get trapped into being asked to do something. Oh, well, Henderson would do this. You know. For those of you who don't know, that was a former pastor. Good friend of mine. But the fact is, some avoid eye contact, because they don't want to be challenged. And they're trying to just survive. A friend of mine preached a sermon one time. Said, you may get by, but you won't get away. Because God won't give up speaking to you and dealing with you about what he's called you to be and what he's called you to do. And you're just better off paying him now instead of paying him later. You're just better off surrendering to the Lord. And quit being intimidated by the world that you live in. Your labor is not in vain. Everything that he went through, he still said, the Lord was leading me in triumph all the time, everywhere. The Roman army experienced death and trials and tragedies, but the end result was celebrated. And I'm telling you, no matter what you go through in this world, there's nothing in this world that can make you a loser but you. God's called you to be a winner. He's given you his word. He's given you an anointing. He's given you, you know, the Holy Spirit. He has tried to, if not already, tried to place you in a church body where you can have brothers and sisters in Christ that will pour into you and you can pour into them. And I know that going to church has become obsolete in our enlightened society today. Oh, we don't have to go to church. We can play a tape. We can listen on TV. And yeah, you can hear great sermons, you know. But if you're not connected to people, then you cannot fulfill the scriptural admonition to be a blessing and to pour into others and allow them to pour into you. Okay. The only way you can be the church that God's called us to be is when we are connected and we allow ourselves for the cause of Christ to become servants that minister unto others. The key to victory is always the same. It's never changed, and most of you have heard it 1,000 times. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and by not loving our life unto death. The blood saves, the word heals, and a committed life that's trusting the Lord is not overcome because of the whims of the flesh. We overcome because greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Paul declares, even death is swallowed up in victory. You should never be intimidated by death, because death is the path to life in Christ. He died for us and redeemed us. Remember the story of the 12 elders of Israel in the book of Numbers? 12 of them were sent out to spy out the land before an invasion. And 10 of them came back and said, we ain't going in there. Now, that's probably not how they said it, but I don't speak Hebrew. But they were saying, we were like grasshoppers compared to those people. They're giants, and they have walled cities, and there's no way that we should invade that land. We better just stay right here in the wilderness. But they were two spies that went into the land who had a different attitude, a different mindset, a different spirit. One of them was Caleb. In fact, the word of God literally says Caleb had a different spirit. He cried out, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. What was his enthusiasm based on? It was based on the fact that God told him to do it. God will never call you to do something that cannot be done. Everything is possible. Amen? Everything is possible. The song says, living waters flowing through. Boy, you talk about changing your attitude and your mindset when you just begin to worship and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Let me just ask you, how many of you have been in that place where you felt like you couldn't take another step? And then you got alone with God and you began to worship the Lord. And your circumstances didn't change, but you changed. Everything changed. I remember being in a revival. Actually, it was in Parma Park, Ohio. And I was in the pastor's office, and I was praying, and man, we were just, you know, that feeling where you feel like you're just kind of beating your head against a wall, and I picked a book off of his shelf. I just happened to notice it while I was walking around praying, and it was about Smith Wigglesworth, and I started reading that book, and man alive, I got so excited. You know, I just, in there by myself, I was having a Holy Ghost conniption, and I'm a nip, so I can have a conniption. And there were people outside there wondering, what in the world is going on? Someone said, he must be seeing an angel. No, I was just realizing the word. The light just kind of came on. And I said, yeah, I'm tired and I'm weary. I've been 6 weeks without a day off and preaching every day and marching in the streets and holding services. And I was worn out physically. But while I was in that office and I got to praying and then I got to reading and then I got to rejoicing. And the next thing you know, there was a revival that I had in my heart and in my life. If America needs a revival, and it does, it's going to begin because you and I have a revival in our own heart, in our own life. We quit being intimidated by the lies of the enemy and recognize who we are in Christ Jesus. Our victory is in the Lord. Just to know you and to make you known, we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. Sometimes we feel so bad we'd just be happy to be ordinary. But God has called us to be more than ordinary. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. Hello? Turn to someone and tell them, you were made to thrive. You were made to thrive. God didn't call us to hold the fort. He didn't create a fort, He created a church. And it wasn't a building, or not a physical building. It was the body of Christ. And we can walk around like silent witnesses, pray, and even so, come, Lord Jesus. And it's okay to pray that prayer. But don't be silent. And don't be intimidated. Speak the truth in love. And be that church that God has called you to be. A visible, vibrant, vocal church that speaks to whosoever will, that they may come to Christ. Because when you start living that kind of life, that's when joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Can you say that with me? Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Do you believe that? Some of you say, well, I'm trying. I'm trying. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. We're going to have and offer communion to you in just a moment. Before we do, I want you to just bow your heads in prayer. First of all, Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you, God, I pray.